Today on The Travel Guys.
In the news, are anti-snoring rooms on the way? Good Lord, I hope so.
Congress has given air travelers a tax-free holiday, but some airlines are keeping the money for themselves.
Aaron stole our story. At 2:15, if you have American Express rewards points and fly United Airlines, consumer reporter Ed Perkins has some important news for you.
And Sacramento's new airport terminal is getting closer to the ribbon-cutting, folks. And at 2:35, Gina Swanky will join us to give you all the details and answer your questions about our sparkling new airport terminal.
All that and more today on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. King of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Yes, sir. It is that time to get on with the show. So glad to have you at that end of the radio. Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. At this end, it's been a fabulous week. It's a beautiful Sunday in Sacramento. State Fair's going on across the street. We can
Isn't that kind of weird, having the State Fair in July?
Yeah. I'm not used to this at all. I mean, it used to be the State Fair and the end of the 1st of September,
yeah,
and the
day.
Kids back to school.
Into summer.
But then again, for those people listening who have either children or grandchildren in school, realize that for them, school's about a week away.
Yeah, so the school year has changed a little bit, and so the State Fair now has changed to accommodate that, I guess. And
However, we can still smell the ponies from here. That's all I can tell you. How was your week, Mark?
My week was good. Lots of travel. Took some folks to the Pacific Northwest last weekend, and then off this week to a place I can't tell you because I was checking out some things for a Sports Leisure Vacations mystery tour.
Okay.
But on the road most of the week and back in town now and glad to be here. We'll be around for all week.
Great show. Lots of benefits for you folks. So keep it here. You're going to learn a lot of stuff on today's program. And let's check in. As we always do, call on the Mark Hoffman Trio for the background music, ladies and gentlemen, as we dip into the travel news. And I know Erin stole some of our thunder, but
she did,
Mark has got a few new things to add. So
yeah.
What's new in the news?
Well, we'll get it back here. A U.S. Airways captain was escorted from an airport after she refused to fly a plane that was having power problems.
Okay, now that there's some logic in that.
Well, she was supposed to fly a flight from Philadelphia to Rome. It had some electrical problems. She returned to the gate. This is kind of interesting, though. You know, the captain always has the ultimate say on whether or not you fly an aircraft. And so she says, well, you know, I don't know if I want to fly this. They had security. U.S. Airways officials had security escort her out of the airport.
And why would they have done that?
Well, maybe because they didn't want her to share with the next crew what she thought was not right with the airplane. The airline says it's the union making an issue where there isn't an issue, and the union says it's a safety issue with the airline, so I'm not really sure which it is, but I just found it kind of interesting that a pilot would refuse to fly an airplane and then have to be escorted out of the airport by security by their own airline.
And yes, folks, we're going to have to kind of sort through that story to find out how much of that was that last part was fact or Mark Hoffman conjecture.
Exactly. Here's a story that is kind of a sad story that I came across in preparing the news. There was this family coming home from Colorado to Houston on vacation, the Berry family, and they had three little children. They were in a minivan, and they were in a bad car accident, and that's what makes this a travel story. These folks are coming home from vacation. The parents were both killed. The youngest daughter, little girl, was badly hurt, and the two little boys were badly hurt. They will both be paralyzed for the rest of their lives. And so this story got some coverage on the wire services and stuff, and a trust fund was set up to help them. And I'm just telling you, we have a link on travelguysradio.com. You can go to the Facebook page and see it. And if you go to the Facebook page, it's for Joshua and Robin Berry, the two little boys, if you wanted to contribute something to help with their or just learn more about the story, because obviously they're going to have a lot of expenses that are going to – how tragic.
That is horrible.
Both of their parents and two little – you know, a family of five and – That's just a tragic story. Anyway, go to travelguysradio.com and you can find out more about that story if you would like to. A gay hotel is opening in Manhattan. New York's first gay hotel, The Out New York City, is slated to open in the Hell's Kitchen neighborhood early next year. It's on 42nd Street between 10th and 11th Avenues. Developers say the hotel will be straight friendly.
Well, there you go. Now, of course, gay marriage in New York is
legal.
As
of this week.
So. Therefore, this kind of makes sense.
It does kind of make sense. More people will be coming to New York City, perhaps to get married. And no matter where you are politically on that, the reality is that it's tourism.
And, you know, it just shows you how far we've come where you hear in a story. And they are straight friendly.
Straight friendly, yes. Well, and that's it for those in the gay and lesbian community might often look for hotels that are gay friendly. Of course,
right.
I would suggest to you that we don't have hotels that are black friendly or Puerto Rican friendly. It's just kind of a sidebar. The first anti-snoring rooms are on their way. Crowne Plaza in the British Isles says that the new room is going to have soundproofing on the walls to absorb sound frequencies and reduce noise reverberating in the room. A sound-absorbing headboard to help muffle the snoring echo within the room. A sound-absorbing headboard. We could go a different place way with that, I think.
I tried the pillow one time, almost got arrested.
There's an anti-snoring bed wedge that encourages snorers to sleep on their sides or upright instead of flat on their backs, which worsens snoring. An anti-snoring pillow. So this is all being tried in Crowne Plaza hotels in Europe and the Middle East. There are currently no plans to bring the rooms to hotels in the United States.
Anti-snoring absorption room.
They say that 3 in 10 couples have come close to splitting up over snoring. So why not have snoring rooms on the road? In the TSA department, they are launching their Trusted Traveler Pilot Program. Those folks who fly American and Delta Airlines through Atlanta, Dallas, Detroit, and Miami will be eligible to participate. Eventually, the TSA will expand the pilot to include a number of other major airlines as well as additional airports.
Shouldn't all pilots be trusted? I mean, never mind. Trusted. I'm reading this. Trusted Traveler
Pilot Program. Yes, it's a pilot, meaning it's.
Oh, it's not. Oh, I get it.
Here's a little bit of a different story. A passenger is accused of groping a TSA agent.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah. A lady
Bernadette liked that a lot.
A lady, 61-year-old Colorado woman, was arrested in Phoenix on charges she groped the Transportation Security Administration screener. She refused to go through the passenger screening and became argumentative before she squeezed and twisted the agent's breast with both hands. Police were called to the scene and say the lady continued to argue with officers and was eventually arrested. She now faces a felony count of sexual abuse. She is a self-employed businesswoman. She was released from custody. The TSA responded saying, TSA officers work every day to protect the traveling public and the agency will not tolerate assaults against its workforce.
There's a phone ringing somewhere in the background. It's making me crazy. Stop that.
You think? Yeah, you're right. It is. Campsite reservations and permits to scale Half Dome at Yosemite have become such hot commodities. The National Park Service is scrambling to halt the auctioning of park permits to the highest bidder. Apparently, they're popping up all over on Craigslist for several times their face value.
Wow.
How interesting. A reservation costs $20 a night when booked through the park or parks contractor Reserve America, but prices on Craigslist have fetched $100 to $150.
Been a tough week for Yosemite.
All right. Absolutely, it has been. That was a tragic story with the people with the waterfall.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's got to be something to be learned there. There's a reason. There is a railing.
And a sign.
Yeah. Please.
So
sad.
Let's see here. And finally, we have it's a tax-free weekend in the story that Aaron stole from us there. Yes, folks, when Congress didn't enact the new tax policy, the new budgetary thing, we're now in a situation where the FAA authorization has expired, and so they can't collect the taxes. This includes a whole bunch of airport taxes that normally would have been collected, like a 7.5% passenger tax, $3.70 a segment, $16 international taxes, a departure tax, and a $16 arrival tax. So this is my wisdom to you, and our consumer reporter Ed Perkins is going to join us in a few minutes.
Okay. Tell us how this is going to – what we should do here.
If you're thinking about traveling internationally,
right,
I would look at it seriously. Now, what one of the airlines did, as Aaron mentioned, some of the carriers raised their fares – so the money goes in their pocket. Some of them did not. Southwest Airlines raised their fares $4 one way and $8 round trip as a fare increase, which is some way of absorbing some of this. Of course, they're not involved in international things, so that international part of it wouldn't have. Mm-hmm. What it comes down to is if you're thinking of buying an international ticket and it's a sizable amount, you probably could buy it today and save yourself a decent chunk of cash.
Now, from the perspective of someone who does take people internationally, Mark, are you, you got any plans for Monday to take a look at what's going on?
We have a couple of groups that are departing in September, so if I can ticket them and save people $50 or $100 a ticket on a $1,200, $1,300 ticket, I certainly would look to do that for my customers. I mean, that's kind of why you hire people like me if you did.
There you go.
All right. And a couple of other just quick travel news here. Las Vegas showgirls were out on the strip protesting last week. Did you hear about that?
I did.
They weren't really protesting. It was the Caesars Palace showgirls. Caesars doesn't charge resort fees, and the other hotels down there do, so they were kind of pointing
resort
that out.
What's a resort fee? They're a resort. They have fees.
For the newspaper you didn't read, and the water you didn't drink, and the phone you didn't use, you paid for all of those.
Oh.
Because you won't pay for them anymore, so they're forcing you to pay for them with what's called a resort fee. And we had the tax story, and I think that's a really about – oh, they had 24 people stuck on a ride at Disneyland yesterday, actually at the California Adventure, but they got them all down.
Was that on California Screamin'?
It was California Screamin'.
And they were screaming.
All right. Let's take a break and come back. Talk to Ed Perkins, our consumer reporter, who is going to tell you, especially if you are an American Express customer and you've got those reward points, Ed's got some important news for you coming up right after the break. We are the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Welcome back. We are the Travel Guys and Entertainment on News Talk 1530 KFBK. We're here to make you a smarter traveler and steal Ed Perkins' website name, which is smartertraveler.com, but that's okay. Ed is on the line with us. Ed, I hope you'll forgive us for doing that.
Yeah, well, it's we're just trying to give you a cheap plug here, Ed.
I get that, and I love cheap plugs.
Thank you. Ed, your thoughts on this tax-free weekend for airline ticket buyers?
Oh, it really isn't all that good because a lot of the taxes are not collected for or by the FAA. I mean, some of it goes to individual airports, and the big international fees go to Customs and Immigration and those people and don't really have anything to do with the FAA.
So the fact that these were not reauthorized, though, that means that they're not being collected. So will this mean the government has to make them up, or what will that? How will that all shake out?
I have no idea if the various customs and immigration fees were not reauthorized because those don't come through the FAA.
Okay.
And they come through Interior and State.
What do you think about the airlines that raised the fares to compensate for the? For the taxes, I guess
I think that's probably an expectation that once the FAA gets back in business, they're going to say, "Hey, you still owe us the money."
And so those airlines will already have the money, and other airlines will have to collect it from people at the gate or something.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a detail. But if I was running an airline, what I would do is put that money in an escrow account, just in case.
Ah, okay, Ed. Tom, you have a...
Yeah, I was just going to say, is this unprecedented? Have we been down this road before or in the past, Ed?
I don't remember, honest to gosh. It's been, I've been doing this a long time, but I really don't remember a situation of the FAA not being reauthorized.
Kind of interesting. Ed, you opined last week about the DOT.
That's an awfully big word there, opined.
Opined, yes. Yeah. That's a woody term there.
Oh, if we work on it, we can find some even longer ones.
about how the Department of Transportation has backed off on some of the passenger protections that were passed this spring and supposed to go to effect this summer, but some of them they did not.
That's correct. The ones that I think most people know about are the ones that they're keeping that will go into effect as scheduled, which is the increased maximum payment for being bumped off of an oversold flight and the requirement that the extension of the limit on tarmac delays to foreign airlines. And nothing changed there. What changed was a bunch of requirements about how various fees and charges are disclosed. And the airlines, and incidentally also the people involved in business travel, said, we can't cope with this as quickly as you want us to. We can't change our computer systems that quickly. And the fact is that the big airlines are generally operating with back-end computer systems that are maybe, 20, 30 years old. The technology is really very old, and even though they put some patches on it, it's not current, it's not state-of-the-art. So it's maybe it's a legitimate reason. As I say, anybody who's had a computer problem can have a little sympathy.
So what we've gotten delayed here is basically some technical things about how they advertise fees and things, how they're included, not included in the fare. But as you mentioned, the big things, the extra compensation if you're bumped, and then also the fact that a foreign aircraft, we saw this happen a lot last winter, are now subject to the same rules. They can't put you on the tarmac for 7 or 8 hours, or it's going to cost them a ton of money, which means they're not going to do it.
That's right. And I think for people who buy tickets online, the disclosure requirements are really not a big problem either. The main problems come with third parties like travel agencies and business travel managers who need to get their hands on these details and say, we just can't set this up fast enough.
Okay, Ed, we've only got a couple minutes here. I want to talk to you about this American Express thing so we can explain this to our listeners. Now, I have an American Express card, and I earn what they call American Express reward points. Right now, Continental Airlines belongs to – you can trade your American Express points to Continental one for one and get Continental one pass miles.
That's right.
Okay. But United does not belong to this program. Explain to our people why that might matter to somebody who travels with United Airlines.
Until sometime, I think it's the end of September.
Yes, end of September.
You can still transfer those miles into Continental, which will become merged with your United miles when the two airline programs merge completely, which is going to happen very soon. So it's a way of converting those American Express points into United miles, and that door is closing at the end of September. So if you ever want to transfer those American Express miles into United miles, put them into your Continental account, which will automatically become United miles within a few months.
And I got 30 seconds. You publish a thing on your premium travel pick of the week. What's coming? What's a travel pick for right now? What's a good bargain right now?
There are some really good business class fares to Europe.
After the summer is over? Fall fares or fares that are available right now?
Mostly for late summer.
Mostly for late in the summer then. So
yeah,
is that kind of a soft patch to go to Europe? Is that a good time?
Yeah, it's sure. I mean, it's going to be a little on the warm side, but there's really Europe isn't seasonal. If you can take the time, fall is a good late summer and early fall is a really good time to visit Europe.
You can find a link to Ed's writings on our travelguysradio.com page. We would please go there, and you can find some more on Ed's ramblings today. Ed, thanks for the update. We appreciate it.
Always good talking to you folks.
Thank you, Ed. Coming up, Gina Swanky, Communications and Media Officer 2, Marketing and Public Relations, Sacramento County Airport. Longest name title I can think of. But then again, she is, working with the biggest airport build-out thing ever.
I would just like to mention this one thing. She's a lot prettier to look at than you are.
Well, all right. Well, yeah, I would have to say the same about you, too.
Here comes Erin into the room, the lady who stole our story about the tax. We found out, that wasn't such a good deal. We just told our listeners. Yeah. So we're on the ball right here, right on News
Crack
Talk.
Team.
That's it. Your crack weekend staff.
Look, if you have a question for Gina about the new build out, she's going to be taking some calls.
Absolutely. 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530. If you'd like to know, if you have a question about the airport, about the food stands or the parking, or Gina knows the answer to everything. She's looking at me like, what have you done? Anyways, if you have a question about the new airport or just even about the old airport, call us 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530, and we will talk with Gina right after Erin gives you the news update on News Talk 1530.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door.
I hate to wake you up. No, don't sing.
No, it's not good to sing.
Okay, I'm leaving. No, don't sing. Okay, we are the Travel Guys Entertainment Radio Program on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
That's too bad about my partner, Tom. He's worked in radio so long that he lost his mind.
It's floating
around here at Clear Channel somewhere at KFBK.
We are really fortunate to have a lovely gal in the studio. We've had her on the show a number of times on the phone.
Gina Swanky.
And go ahead and give us that long title that she has, Mark, so you can get to say it too.
She's the communications and media officer to marketing and public relations.
Yeah,
that's what it says on your website, on your email there. And I looked at that and I thought, well, is that like the second? Does it make you the second communications and media officer?
The way the county works, it goes 1 to 3 in elevation. So you're at a manager's level at number 2, but there's still room to grow.
Oh, so you're a mid-tier. Maybe we should go try to find the number 3, I guess.
I don't know.
We don't have a 3. It goes directly to a deputy director level. It's very interesting with us.
I see. Okay. Well, Gina, as somebody who's out there, like it seems like every day, the new airport, the new terminal is starting to take shape. Everybody is talking about who's moving where and who's going to this place and who's going to that place. And so you are here to give us all of that scoop. So, okay, who's going to be in the new terminal?
The new terminal, of course, we have a long list of wonderful airlines are in there. Southwest, of course, was one of those airlines that everyone was wondering, where the heck are they going? Well, they're definitely going into the new terminal.
Well, they represent about half of the flights a day.
A little more than half.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're a dominant carrier, and, of course, they'll be in there. Also, Aeromexico's coming in, so because we have brand-new customs facilities for them. Alaska also.
Oh, they don't have to go in that awkward little crummy-looking building that's in the middle there?
No. That was always meant as an interim solution, and now it's going away. And
wow,
the new facility
is gorgeous.
Wow, we're
like a real city with a real airport.
And then some. We're actually going to have one of the best facilities going. So that's fantastic. Alaska also has international flights, so they're going in. Horizon, of course, is their partner. So
what's this with we have two carriers going to Guadalajara?
Uh-huh.
And nobody going anywhere else?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
So,
there's connecting service, but, you know, it's one of those things. It's baby steps, especially in this economic climate.
Right. Pardon my interruption. So Alaska, Southwest, Aeromexico.
Mm-hmm. Horizon.
Horizon.
American.
Yes.
Frontier. Hawaiian. And JetBlue.
So who does that leave for the old terminal?
U.S. Airways and Delta will not be moving, and then
United
and Continental will both go over to Terminal
over there. So that so basically, your carriers that are providing the 2, 3, 4 carriers are staying in the old one, and but the old terminal's a nice terminal. Plus, like the United people were talking the other day, they won't have to take the people mover to go out. So that brings me to one of our questions that someone sent in during the week, Gina. It said, will the people mover add a lot of time? And, of course, some people who haven't been out to the airport wouldn't even know what we're talking about the people mover.
Right. The people mover is a single car people mover. And, of course, we have twinned people movers that will move in tandem. And with that, that eliminates walking approximately 1,200 feet from your ticket counter out to your gate. That's a little bit long to walk. It's more than I would want to walk, let alone somebody that has some challenges. So that's definitely an easy way to get out there. The entire trip from loading onto the people mover out to your gate, it's only about a minute.
And how often does the people mover run?
Continuously. So,
they're
constantly
minutes.
Alternating. So it's wonderful. It'll be a wonderful solution.
Is there an airport that's using a people mover that you could compare it with?
Well, many of them do. I mean, SFO has a people mover. It just moves around
Las
the entire
Vegas
airport.
Las Vegas has a short people mover.
It does.
So does Dallas. Similar. I mean, most people have been exposed to this sort of technology.
Right.
So
it's not like
foreign.
There's going to be a choice of 9 stops. It's just going to go out.
No,
taking you out to the land side from the land side. See, I sound all technical now. From the land side to the air side of the terminal.
Right. From basically the public side to the secure side. So the area that you need a ticket, that's where it's taking you out to. So it takes you, it delivers you right in front of the
security is after
checkpoint.
You get off of the terminal,
correct.
After you get off the people mover.
Correct. So you get a little time on the people mover, get prepared for that checkpoint, which isn't bad.
So people who are meeting people will never get on the people mover because people who arrive will take the people mover into luggage claim.
Right. And there's great shops and restaurants, right, where that station is.
I was going to ask you that. Will there be more than just a Cinnabon and a Sbarro?
Absolutely.
Stand that's been thrown up downstairs. There'll be real concessions for people who are waiting for arrivals.
Yeah, one of the things that we want to do with this change in how things go with security, you know, people have some more dwell time, and of course you want to see your family off correctly. So there's more restaurants and retail on that public side, and there's also tons of seating. So it gives you an opportunity to sit down and relax and have a conversation before your party departs.
Gina Swenke is our guest. Gina is with the Sacramento County Airports, and she is here today to tell us about our new airport terminal that is opening on October the 9th. Am I right?
Well, it opens, as far as functionality, October 6th.
6th, okay.
Is the first day of flight.
But we want to tell people about this big party. And
absolutely.
You can, by the way, go to travelguysradio.com and you can get the link to go to all of the and find out about all of this. But basically, there's a big party on the night of the 1st.
Right. We're going to have a wonderful celebration to launch that.
That's a ticketed deal.
It's a ticketed deal. Of course, there's plenty of food and beverages and entertainment.
Now, what about those of us from the travel? Is there going to be a press day, too, or a travel industry day?
Of course, okay. Won't be open to the public, but it gives an opportunity for everyone to preview.
So this is the big public party night.
Correct.
And then the following day, you're going to have a free, don't have to buy a ticket. You can come out and see the new terminal.
Right. The presentation will be a little bit different, of course, no entertainment, things of that nature. But it'll basically mock up what your experience will be at the airport. We hope to have all our concessionaires open, and we'll have a number of our parties that are our partners, people from the outlying areas or secondary market.
That sounds kind of like fun, Thomas. I think we ought to be out there, you know, like
most definitely
hanging around, broadcasting.
We might have to do a radio show from
people,
there.
Getting,
absolutely,
getting free. Probably the weekday people will hog the spot, and we'll just be making a guest cameo appearance or something.
We'll be there. Look out. We'll be set up and with our booth and the whole nine yards.
If you have a question for Gina, we have time for a call or two, and I've got some questions here that have still come in. 921-1530 or 800-134-1530. Someone asked about pricing at the airport. Most airports in the country, pricing of concessions is ridiculous because the concessionaires are paying a percentage to the airport for operating there. There are a few that have what they call street pricing, although I kind of question that. Denver and Portland claim to have street pricing, but turns out the street pricing is what is the pricing at the stadium. So that's not really street pricing. Yeah. That was a big scandal in Denver a few months ago. So tell us, what are the prices going to be like?
Well, the prices that work for us, it's slightly above street pricing. They actually have a cap. They can only go a very small percentage above what regular street pricing is.
So
it's in the general area.
So if I go to Randy Perigary's new restaurant, it may cost a $10 item may cost me $11 or $11.50.
It may. Conceivably, but that remains to be seen. I mean, he's a pretty wise businessman, so we'll see what his pricing looks like.
All right. So tell us a little bit about what's going to happen food-wise. What are we going to have?
Food-wise, it's going to be spectacular. I mean, most people like Terminal A. We have a few local options there. We have Labu and Lemongrass Grill.
Yeah, Terminal A is you can get something to eat. Terminal B is just a disaster.
No, Terminal B, of course, was designed in 1967. You didn't even have to go through a metal detector to get on a flight. So nobody hung around an airport for hours on end before a flight. So it's definitely something that was considered in the design.
Tom, she's really good.
I know.
She's got anything I just throw at her, she just throws it right back at me. She's done this once or twice before.
Just a couple times.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of variety of food.
Absolutely.
And some of it is local stuff. Urban Jack's is maybe out there.
Jack's Urban Eats is out there. Also, Dos Coyotes is out there. Burgers and Brew, which is popular on our street, will be out there. Cafeteria 15.
Oh, fine. You have all your favorite places.
Of course. I'm gonna have to get a better workout program is what's going to happen.
Well, what a concept that you could actually eat the food at the airport. Although, admittedly, the selections in A have been a lot better.
There's greater diversity because there's more space to develop.
Well, you can get
those.
A salad and a smoothie, and you can actually get something healthy if you want to. And
there will be people that will actually just fly to the airport, dine, and go home. It will be that nice. What's going to happen to the old Terminal B? Is that going to become a parking lot?
No, actually, well, kind of. It's going to be a parking lot for aircraft.
Okay.
So that will become a large span of tar, basically, to park aircraft. Because right now we're a little bit skinny on what we have for available space to park aircraft.
Yeah, if you
overnight.
Go out there late at night, you will find airplanes all over the pick and place. I mean, because that's the only place there is for them to sit. Right.
And we need also availability just in case we take diversions from those airports that are so congested.
Now, as you
did you catch that?
I did. as it becomes such a popular place to fly out of, and we'll be going all over the world someday out of the new airport. Is parking keeping up with it? What do you see?
We have plenty of available inventory right now. One of the things when we took the parking garage, the second parking garage off of the project. We have tons of inventory, and that was part of the reason for doing that.
That means there's a lot of parking spaces available.
Plenty.
That inventory word there, I just wanted to
thank you for decoding.
You're welcome. You've been out there way too long.
Absolutely.
But, well, and you're right. There is a whole – so for right now, there will be no more new parking.
No, no. And it's something that, you know, once we open this new terminal, based on what we're going to see as far as passenger traffic, we'll start exploring that right away as far as
what about,
when do we need
it. I have a
it.
Question here from somebody asking about access, because mm-hmm. you used to be able to drive into Terminal B without mm-hmm. driving in front of Terminal A. And with all the construction and everything, that's become all convoluted. Will there be separate terminal entrances, or was just going to be one?
There will be separate terminal entrances, and if you do mess up, you will still be able to circle around just like you used to be able to do. With that as well, you know, the new terminal has a couple different options. One is it has a multi-level roadway. So ticketing and baggage claim are on two separate levels. So it's a little bit of a learning curve for everybody. They're going to have to look for that road separation as well.
Okay, so where did the money come from for all of this?
There were a lot of bond sales. There's also some federal funds involved. And our bonds were very well supported. In fact, they're oversubscribed. So we did very well with those.
Cool.
There are some people in this community that needs to take a look at how they funded that, if they ever plan to fund something called a sports complex here in the area
or something like that. Now the airlines pay landing fees, right? But that's what isn't necessarily to fund a new terminal. That's to keep to cover operating expenses along the day-to-day type of stuff.
Right. Everybody pays for what they have in lease space and how they operate.
Now, the airlines
else.
Were kind of against this whole concept in the beginning, and I'm guessing that their influence may have played some role, and the fact that the economy tanked in Sacramento 3 years ago, which was about the critical time for all this. People should know there originally was a Sheraton Hotel, I believe. It was a Sheraton. There was a high-rise.
There was a hotel planned on top of the structure. The tricky part with that is looking at projections. It wasn't penciling out. So we could build it and be in a deficit, which is not smart, or we can excise it. So the decision was made to excise it. So it's not that we won't have a hotel, because, in fact, we're looking towards potentially releasing an RFP by the end of the year for a hotel on site mm-hmm. to give that convenience. It just will never be attached directly to that terminal. Mm.
Got that it. Guy at the Hampton who charges too much when you overnight park and stay there? I'm sorry. Never mind. That was an editorial.
Tell me about the public art collection that's going to be featured at the terminal, Gina.
It's a fabulous collection of public art. I mean, some of the most signature pieces most people know about, like the large red rabbit, that's the feature piece of the terminal structure. But we have a number of things, mosaics and things.
Now, at the old terminal, we had those eclectic suitcase stacks.
One of those was mine,
iconic.
By the way. the brown Samsonite. It's about the middle, kind of to the right.
You know, and that's kind of a thing that we all take for granted. But every time somebody new comes to town,
yeah,
that's the first thing they add. That's the first thing that catches their eye. So what is going to be that equivalent? Tell me about the rabbit.
I think the rabbit's definitely going to be up there. I mean, it's a massive rabbit that spans multiple levels of the new terminal structure. And he's jumping into.
Is there a reason for a rabbit?
Is he jumping into a suitcase?
He is jumping into a suitcase.
Perfect.
That contains a vortex. So that's going to be one of those iconic structures. We also have a really fun piece that's out in the food court over on the secure side. And with that, you can type in emails to friends and family, and it converts those emails into musical notes. So it plays music. So it's some very fun stuff out at the airport.
Outstanding. So we should remind folks again, you can go to travelguysradio.com if you want to get more information on either the party that you need a ticket to on Friday night. That's a ticketed event with entertainment and la-ti-da.
October 1st.
And then on the 2nd, you can go out during the day from 10 to 4 for free and see all of the stuff, sans entertainment and hotsy-totsy stuff. So there's an opportunity there, I think, for everybody.
Yeah, tickets, let's see here, experiencebparty.com.
So is this going to be like the place to be on October the 1st? I have no doubt.
It's definitely the don't miss situation out there, and it's definitely a festive party. Everyone will be dressed to the nines and having a great time. And it's actually going to be the first opportunity anyone will have to truly go out to the airside portion and tour it. The next day, of course, we'll have it open to the public. But mm-hmm. if you want to get your first glimpse as a member of the traveling public, that's going to be your
opportunity. Well, if you're a frequent traveler, I mean, I highly recommend investing in the time and effort to go out there, because you're just going to be that much smarter when you go. And with all the new facilities and stuff, it makes a big difference. I mean, whether or not you plan to eat or you've allowed time or all of that kind of stuff. So allow yourself a few extra minutes, you know, if you're traveling after October the 6th, for sure.
Is there a designated flight yet on a particular day that will be the first flight either in or out of the new terminal?
Well, definitely designate that, because there will be ribbon cutting for once we get ready to roll those things.
I was going to say that that's going to be a premium. A lot of people are going to want to, you know, if have the opportunity to book that, whether it may be nothing more than another Southwest flight to L.A.
Well, but you know what's funny is that it could very well be an overnight. It could be a red-eye flight that leaves.
Coming in?
The last flight to go out is Aeromexico.
Okay.
So if you wanted to be the last flight out of Terminal B and the international arrivals building,
out of Dodge,
that would be Aeromexico.
Okay. Yeah. Like I say, that ticket and that particular event could be a little souvenir. And I think that will be something that some people will go after. We'll be looking forward to being able to reveal that information when the time comes.
And guess what? We are going to have a couple of spaces for a couple of people to go out and tour on a special little private tour. We will talk about that in the weeks to come. So you might have a chance to win an opportunity to see the airport before, and not at either one of these special.
You mean with Sports Leisure Vacations?
How would we ever do that? Gina, I hope you will touch bases with us again between now and the opening. And if you get any big news, you know, instead of calling those people during the week, because, you know, they don't really have the time to talk to you. They've got 20 seconds. They've got to move to the next story. You remember the travel guys.
Absolutely. And everyone can also check out our Facebook page and our Twitter links, because that's where we post everything fun, including some sneak peeks of the terminal or posted on Twitter. Right now on Twitter and Facebook. And Facebook, we've actually given some advanced tours to people. So it's good to be a Facebook fan, because there are some perks.
Like us on Facebook. There's got to be something, perhaps, that we forgot to ask you that you wanted to make sure that you got a chance to tell the folks today that anything?
Absolutely. I mean, the most important thing is this terminal project has been in the works since 2008. We're looking to deliver it in 2012 with some of the modifications. We're able to do this on time, and we're still within budget, so we're doing really well for everyone. We look forward to seeing everyone in October.
Gina, thank you very much. You took the time on a Sunday to come in and spend time with us in the studio, so we appreciate that. Not everybody is always willing to do that, so thank you. And you guys have been really terrific to us for a year and a half, so we look forward to being a part of your party and to helping our listeners with any of the information about the new airport.
Absolutely, anytime.
All right, you got it. We take a break. We come back with a Travel Club, Sports Leisure Travel Club update, and some final thoughts on the Travel Guys.
We're going places with that Sports Leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman with your Sports Leisure Traveler update for Sunday, July the 24th. The Travel Club members, your new newsletter should have arrived in your mailbox last week, either by e or regular mail. If you did not receive one, call our office and we will find out what happened. The new newsletter contains about two dozen new day excursions, including trips to see Bill Cosby and Howie Mandel in Modesto, also to see Cirque du Soleil's new show in San Francisco. In Reno, we have a tribute to Sammy Davis Jr., Kenny Rogers with the Nugget Rib Festival, and also Liza Minnelli. Or perhaps for something a little bit longer, to Costa Rica in February, or Thanksgiving dinner at Harris Ranch. All those can be found at our website at sportsleisure.com. Our annual tour preview day is Saturday, August the 27th at the Marriott Hotel. Seats are available for all three sessions still at 9 o'clock, 12:45, and 4:15 p.m. Admission is $5, which is donated to charity. You can make reservations right now by going to sportsleisure.com, or you can call our office Monday for reservations. And that is, oh, wait a minute, I almost forgot about the Lucky Travel Club member winners for this week. If your name is called, call our office Monday or Tuesday for $100 in tour cash. We forgot to announce last week, so I got four names for you.
Tom Romano.
Not. Betty Christoph. Betty Christoph, Virginia Schumacher, Peggy Simpson, and Bob Janae. You have all won $100 in tour cash. Call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday. Betty Christoph, Virginia Schumacher, Peggy Simpson, and Bob Janae, thank you for being listeners on Travel Guys Radio. And that's your Travel Club update for July the 24th.
And we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations.
We're going to have some entertainment people in studio with us, a couple of them next week. So it's still kind of a surprise, but we'll be back on the entertainment wagon a little bit next week.
So you'll know, folks, I don't even know. Mark will surprise me as well. That's pretty common around here. That's quite all right.
Comes up during the week, and, you know, it's just whatever kind of – people wonder what it is to be on the radio. You know, and you and I have been doing this since – we've known each other 30 years.
A little longer than that piece of music, which was recorded back in the early 80s, yeah, I do believe, over at the infamous Moon Studios. A big plug to Electric Mike. It was his first jingle project.
That jingle is 30 years old. Still sounds as good as it did the day that that Mike did it. Pretty unbelievable.
I think Tracy, who's with Mumbo Gumbo, is one of the singers on there, in case you're a big Mumbo Gumbo
fan. One of these
fan.
Days, we're going to have to. Somebody asked me on one of our trips the other day. They said, you know, you and Tom should talk up sometime. So we're maybe around Thanksgiving or something. We should have a program and talk about, you know, how we met and, you know, what our history is down through the years. Maybe we should get some of those old commercial outtakes.
Oh, man, I got
commercials
some.
We used to do.
You let me know when. I got some stuff.
Maybe we can find some stuff. All right. As the travel guys wind down here, we want to remind you that anything we mentioned today and any week, travelguysradio.com. In fact, you should just kind of put it on your I like spots on your computer so you can go there every week, find out what's going to be on the show, what was on the show this week, all the links to the big build at Sacramento International Airport, the Berry children, that family that had the horrible automobile accident in Texas. There's a link to Ed Perkins' Smarter Traveler stuff, the stuff about the new anti-snore rooms that Crowne Plaza is coming up with. About why you should or should not grope a TSA agent, and how it says Yellowstone, but actually Yosemite scalpers, how they're scalping the camping sites in Yosemite on Craigslist. We're going to have to go and check that out. And all kinds of fun stuff about how to be a smarter traveler and cool stuff.
What happens when you return a rental car 7 months late, or like Mark, take a car and don't tell anybody?
Yeah, well, I was on the road last week, and a car rental guy had a meltdown while I was – he just took the thing and he didn't have the right kind of cars, and we were all standing there, and he just had a meltdown. And you know how the guy grabbed the beer and ran down the chute?
Right, right.
He just went out, got in his car, and zapped right out of the airport.
Really?
And he handed us keys to cars. So, you know, we all thought we were going to go through some kind of a control area before we left. I got outside the airport, realized I've got a National rental car, and National has absolutely no idea that I have it.
No paperwork, nothing.
No paperwork or nothing. Went back, they gave me a contract, and we ended up the next day, National called me. They reversed the guys who had the cars. They had us all confused, and they had no idea who had which car. And so National Car Rental calling the next day and saying, gee, do you have a $30,000 automobile that, you know, that belongs to us? Yeah, because the guy basically he threw the walkie-talkie against the back of the booth and
walked out
the door. His car was parked about 50 feet away, and he screamed out of the airport parking lot, and that was it. But, you know,
I've had it and I'm not taking it anymore.
All right. We are the Travel Guys. We're here every Sunday from 2 to 3 o'clock, and we will be back here next Sunday.
Look forward to
it. From 2 to 3 o'clock to give you all sorts of news about the world of travel. You can find us at travelguysradio.com. I'm Mark Hoffman for Tom Romano. Remember, an hour a week is all we ask. See you next week at 2.
See you then.